You believe in Jesus?
Yes, I do.
Well, you're going to meet him.
You see what fun this is? It's going to get really exciting. I know what to do now. They've made it clear.
You warriors are good. Real good. The best.
This is the end of your rotten life, you motherfucking dope pusher.
We'd make one hell of a team, Snake.
The name's Plissken.
Welcome to 42nd Street Forever, the official podcast of Grindhouse Cinema Database. I'm Pete Roberts, and I'm here with Phil Duke from Making Tarantino, the podcast. Hey, Phil, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you? I am so excited about every movie that you send me to watch. I'm like, okay, let's do it. Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's, I'm trying to pick stuff that, like, you know, I'm picking stuff that are, that usually was released on the day that we're doing the show. So
yeah,
today's double feature was released on this day in 1981, I think it was. So, and that was Friday the 13th Part 2 and My Bloody Valentine. And those are from Paramount Pictures. So those are pretty like mainstream movies versus like, you know, the low budget stuff. You know, they're low budget, but they're like, you know,
indie stuff. Yeah.
Right. But they're still like considered like exploitation films because of the gore and the violence. Yeah. So these two movies played the New Amsterdam Theater, and that was located on 214 West 42nd Street, and that was one of the last theaters that it was one of the only theaters that is still operating right now that was on the Deuce. Like all the other ones are closed now, and they were bought by Disney. Yeah.
Do they still play other things? They probably just play Marvel movies.
And they also do. Yeah, they do. They do. I don't know if they do movies, but they do with musicals and stuff now. Like you can go see playing that type of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, but Disney bought it in. I'm not sure what year they bought it, but probably like in the early '90s or something. Probably.
Yeah, probably.
But it's like a big theater. It's one of the biggest theaters, I guess, on the street. So, New Amsterdam was built from 1902 to 1903, and. The theater is operated by Disney Theatrical Productions and has 1,702 seats across three levels. And it was the first theater on 42nd Street to present a feature in the CinemaScope process. That was The Robe. Martin Scorsese probably talked about that movie. Wow. Like going to see that when he was like a kid. That opened in 1953. So you probably saw that there. That was one of those big, huge, you know, the curtain keeps opening and opening.
Yeah. And you can be up on the balcony. Theater. Yeah.
Right. And I've seen like inside pictures of it. It was like a huge, big screen. It was like an awesome, like epic size screen in there. So that's where these movies played. And Friday the 13th Part 2 was intended to be an anthology film, but I guess they changed that and they decided to go with having Jason be the main killer, as we know.
Yeah.
And that was like, you know, his debut. That he made his debut in that film.
That's interesting because that would have been almost like what they did with Halloween 3, where, you know, they were going to start making them all different.
Right.
Everybody got upset. And they're like, okay, forget it. We'll bring my
going back to Michael Myers. Right. Yeah. So they brought Jason in, and that kind of created like, you know, I don't think I would have cared if it was an anthology. That's, you know, that's okay. But it's like, I think having Jason be the killer was much smarter idea to do that. But.
Would have been it's one of those where you'd like to see it. Like, it'd be interesting if they had like, here's a director's cut or an alternate version. Like, that'd be neat.
Right.
But yeah, it's good the way it is. And it's crazy with those. I know we're only about the second one, but all of those happened within like 9 years, like 1980,
Friday the 13th,
number 8 comes out in like 89. And you're like, holy shit. Like boom, boom, boom. You know.
I liked all of them too. I liked all the, and I mean, I saw those are the movies that I first rented when I was a little kid. So like, I'd go to the video store and like, those are the first ones I went right to the horror section, and I'd be renting like Friday the 13th, 1, 2, 3, 4. And you know, I think part eight was where I kind of tuned out. That was the one where I was like, okay, this is getting a little ridiculous now. But that was like at the end of the '80s.
It's still it
was
fun,
like,
but
that was like 89 or something. Yeah, they were still fun, but you know, that sort of ran its course, that genre.
Yeah, nine was Freddy versus Jason, and then 10 was
Jason X was Jason in space or something.
Yeah, which was had some cool kills in it, but yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say about the Friday the 13th movies versus the Halloween movies. Like we were saying, I loved the first Halloween, but the sequels weren't so great. I mean, they were okay, but I always liked the Friday the 13th ones. I just found them more like entertaining overall as movies. The characters and like, you know, they were kind of funny, and I thought they got funnier as they went on. Like if you watch the first one, it's pretty serious. The second one's, you know, there's a little bit of humor. Third one, a little bit more humor. And like they kind of get funnier. Like by the sixth one, it's like almost like a horror comedy in certain parts. You'd have to watch it to know when.
And they had
a lot of humor in it.
Yeah, different story arcs that they went through, and and some really cool
and
kills.
The fifth one had that. Yeah, they were always entertaining. So I just always gravitated towards the Friday the 13th movies, but. Yeah. But the second one was especially good because it sort of took off from like there was a lot of Giallo influence in that one, like with the kills and stuff.
Yeah.
But like we were saying, and I was trying to think like what would be interesting to talk about, like as far as like slasher movies, like where they came from and stuff. But you know, that's sort of like that would take a whole entire show to discuss that. But
well, and
just
it's
like
kinda
as far
like...
as like the influences and stuff, and like why psychologically why. Audiences wanted to go see those movies because they were so popular in the 80s and stuff. And I guess maybe that has to do with like sort of like a repressed time and like, you know, people were kind of like, you know, getting out there.
Yeah.
In a cathartic way, like type idea. I don't know.
It's interesting because for one, I didn't used to be into horror movies. So like growing up, I was always a little fraidy cat. I was afraid that I'd be. My friend a long time ago was like, hey, why don't you come over? I'm having my 16th birthday party. He's like, why don't you come over and we're going to watch The Terminator and Creepshow. And I didn't know Creepshow was like a comedy horror. And I just thought, I'm going to watch Creepshow and I'm going to have nightmares. I'm going to scream and wake up in the middle of my night, spending the night over there. And everybody's going to laugh at me.
Yep.
I didn't go. And until this day, he's like, you were the only one I wanted to go to my party and show up.
That's funny.
And then you find out Creepshow is funny. But there is something about my wife has like a lot of anxiety. And so I watch Jaws and I'm like, isn't this great? And she's like, no, it's not. For her, it's not good. And I think for people with anxiety, granted, like she says, like some things, like if I said, do you get anxiety for Halloween or Friday? She's going to, no, there's no masked guy with a hockey mask going to show up. But if it's like something that could really happen, then and there's something about that of like the escapism though of it, of for one being in the theater and scream, everybody screams, or maybe one person does, that makes you scream. The jump scares that used to happen in the 80s all the time that then they were like, okay, we're doing it too much. But yeah, it's just, and then just when that started, like for, like we've said off mic and just that we kind of know being film people, any film person, like Black Christmas comes out and Bob Clark talks to John Carpenter, says, hey, blah, blah. And John Carpenter goes, well, if I did a sequel, here's what I do in a sequel. And that's exactly what John Carpenter did for Halloween.
So and it did kind of influence Halloween then. I mean, like, I didn't know that story. Remember you were telling that story on, I think it was on your podcast. You were talking about that. And you were like, I didn't know those little details because I had seen Black Christmas and I'm like, and then I didn't, without knowing about the, you know, the John Carpenter connection to with Bob Clark, I said, Halloween must have like just kind of ripped this movie off because it's just kind of this, you know, it's another holiday themed movie.
Well, and then what,
you know what I mean?
What,
it has like the,
yeah, exactly. But what's funny is then this guy, the guy that did Friday the 13th in 1980, goes, wait a minute, Halloween is Sean making blockbusters. Let me do something. And does Friday the 13th. And like we're saying about all influences that we talked about, I think last
from each other in a way.
Then My Bloody Valentine is going, well, somebody already has Friday the 13th. Somebody already has Halloween. What day could we do? Nobody's done Valentine's Day. Boom.
Exactly.
And there you go. You know, and then like Thanksgiving, Blood Rage
yeah,
is Thanksgiving. Like, right. It's like, cool.
There's a whole subgenre of holiday slashers, as we know. So you, then yeah. you have like Silent Night, Deadly Night, yeah, and you have like, you know, all those April yeah, Fool's Day.
Christmas,
was
yeah, Don't Open Till like Christmas. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Christmas Evil, like all those. Yeah. And I love all those movies too. They're really fun. So
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that's another good thing, point about it is like they all have these. And another thing about the slasher films is they all had a certain like a certain basic story, like the killer was out to get revenge, not to go back into revenge dramatics again, yeah. but there is an aspect of that in yeah. the movies. And they all had that like certain rigid structure to them. Like they had like, you know, the certain tropes and stuff. So what I would do is the way I would look at them is I'd try to pick stuff that set the each one apart that made them special. So mm-hmm. if you watch like whatever, My Bloody Valentine, that had the kind of goofy Canadian humor going on in there. And well, it kind of, there was like a different atmosphere, different atmosphere with the mines and stuff that kind of set it apart from like the camps, you know, in the Crystal Lake and, you know, like the sorority houses or something like that, wherever the other ones were.
And
you, you just try to find stuff like that in them or whatever.
And it was almost like yeah. prom night where you're going, who's the yeah. killer? Is that guy, right. did that guy escape? Or is it one of these yeah. people that are the killer?
And that's one of the tropes of those movies too.
That's a whole different yeah. thing than that's Friday the 13th, where you're like, okay, right. Jason is Jason.
You know who the killer is. You know, exactly, right.
His mom's it's like dead.
The whodunit aspect.
Yeah, right. But where is he? What's going on? Yeah.
Right. You don't yeah. know exactly who the killer is. And that's yeah. another fun part of those movies. That's probably like a Giallo influence. Like, you know, they'd have all the red herrings. Like, you know, yeah. you don't know if there's like five different guys it could be or something.
Yeah.
So that's
yeah.
one of the other fun things about it. But I was like, what did we like about Friday the 13th? That what set that apart? I mean, I think a lot of it, there was a lot of good humor in those movies. Like the kids were kind of goofy teenagers. And that was like fun too. But then like there was the gore of the movies. That was like another thing that set them, like you wanted to see like what was the latest like crazy gore effect they were going to do or something like that. Or, you know.
And I think in a way where he was like, where maybe that director was like, let's have more sex. Like Halloween has like the girl gets naked, like the one time to get PJ, in bed. Like
that's
the, that's the only one. But the other one is like, this one is like, these people are maybe going to have sex. The guy in a wheelchair. And then she's like, oh, you can feel things down there. Oh, okay.
That was funny.
And like all of that. And the thing of like, we're going to hook up, but are they? And then where'd the guy go? Right. Where is he? I can't find you. Yeah. It's a bigger area. Right. So you're like,
right,
you know, instead of maybe Halloween doesn't just take place in the house, but it's in the house. Friday the 13th is this entire camp with woods. Yeah. And I remember that first one.
A lot of possibilities and all that.
Yeah, the girls driving in the Jeep. Atmosphere. You're like, can you trust this guy in the Jeep? Who's the owner of this guy who's painting the place?
Right.
Can he be trusted?
From the first one,
it's all a part of that where you know you're watching a horror movie for that first one, especially. You don't
it
know.
It creates about a lot of suspense, all that stuff.
And it's even better because the first Friday 13th flips it on its head. I don't mean to just talk about this one, but we're going to talk about the whole thing. I think you said is that then it's the mother and not the boy. And you're like, oh,
right.
And then at the end, she's on the boat and this boy pops up and she's like, I had this dream. And you're like, but was it a dream? What? And that.
Again, I loved all that stuff.
Like we talk about on my show, this one had that part two did too. Yeah. There was something.
Yeah.
But what we talk about on my show is, the whole thing of Quentin Tarantino he remembers the movie experience. So like when he goes to a theater to see like Friday 13th, it's like, oh my God, the mom is the killer. And then also when that boy jumped out of the water, he's surprised and the crowd's going crazy. And he's like, oh, I got to take so-and-so to go see this certain scene.
Right. And I think that the ending of Friday the 13th was inspired by Carrie, the ending of Carrie, when the hand comes out of the grave. They wanted to do something like that. And I guess the whole people just jumped right out of their seat when that happened. The whole place just, you know, you could just imagine like, you know, they weren't expecting everybody
it's
just
a static shot on the grave.
Stuff. Yeah.
And you don't know. Stuff. You think it's all over and then boom.
And you almost kind of feel it, too, when you're watching. You're like, something's going to happen because of the it's just too like, you know, something is I don't know.
But it's done better than what happened in part two. Which is where they come back. They're back in the place. The boy and the girl.
The little dog comes in. Oh, Muffin talking. is okay.
And you're like, dead. But you know like, this lasted too long. Yeah. Something's going to happen. Right. And then all of a sudden, boom, Jason comes through the window and you're like, oh, shit.
That was an awesome suspense scene.
With Carrie, it was a little better where you weren't, it wasn't a full thing of like a long time. It was her going to see a grave.
Right. Well, okay, it's a dream too. It's in her dream too, versus like, you know, but the way they did the ending of Friday the 13th too is like, you know, it almost seems sort of like dreamlike in a way.
The way it's filmed in this weird,
Right, exactly. But I was also thinking like with those movies, like, I feel like they brought together like the teen sex comedies and like the, you know, and like the horror movies, like, cause they had that thing going through them all the time. Like they were always like goofy kids, you know, hooking up and stuff. Yeah. And then like
they kind of mixed those two genres
together. Cause it made it, they needed something to like make them entertaining when there wasn't like, you know, the violent stuff going on. They needed something to, and like, they had like a lot of charming the characters, like, you know, the kid that makes the jokes and plays the pranks or something, or, you know, and the cute girl that's running around, like, you know, whatever she's doing, that type of stuff. They had needed like those little characters in there to make it interesting, you know, the different characters and stuff.
And it's a little bit of that they're all different characters. It's not like some like Halloween's a great movie, but Halloween is like these three high school girls. These girls in Friday the 13th are always different. One is maybe nerdy. One is, you know,
a tomboy.
One is sexy. One's a tomboy. Yeah. One tells jokes. Right. One's like, you know, whatever. And they're, and even the guys, like there's that guy drinking at the bar who's weird. There's the, you know, on part
the
two.
Joke, the joker guy. Yeah.
Yeah. And it just, it's just really good. And it's cool because like the mask doesn't come till part three.
Right.
And so you're watching part two.
I love part three too, actually.
And when you're when you're going to see this, you're just like, okay, the mom died. What's this gonna be? And then he's wearing a bag. He looks like one of the scariest villains that I've ever seen.
Baghead Hillbilly.
This one's good, but it's more
Town that Dreaded Sundown.
Town that Dreaded Sundown.
That's a creepy movie too.
He just looks creepy just standing there.
Yeah, that's scary. And that's pretty scary.
And it's almost like what you don't really think about that I thought about on, I think on this part two, actually, was in Halloween, John Carpenter was like, I got my friend, Nick Castle to be the bad guy because he said, why? And he goes, because you walk a certain way. I like your walk. And when you see his walk, it's spooky, scary, and looks heavy. And when you see Jason's walk in this movie or him fighting, it doesn't seem as big and burly. It seems a little, like you said, like a hillbilly with a sack on, you know,
a baghead hillbilly.
Yeah.
And also the Jason was played by two different guys. He's played by Steve Dash, who played most of the part. And then at the end, Warrington Gillette was the other guy. So they both like kind of, both played him, but I think most of it was Steve Dash was the guy that was running around in the woods like Jason. But I think Ginny is one of the best final girls out of all the movies. I just love like her look, and I just thought she was really good, like at the very end in the shed in Jason. Shay Jason is what they call it, like the shack that he created and stuff. I love that whole part when she's like trying to like make pretend it's his mother, and like he's like kind of like hallucinating that it's her and stuff. I love that whole idea of that. That was really cool.
And it was, it was done well where you're like, oh, he's falling for it. And then he sees his mom's head and he's like, oh, no,
she
this
out
is
of the
fake.
Way and she sees the head.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then she like, and then he starts fighting back. But I guess that girl, Amy Steele, like hit when they were doing that scene, she like brought the machete down and like actually hit the guy on the finger or something. The guy that was playing Jason by accident. I read some of that in the history of the movie, but love that whole, just the whole concept of that was awesome.
It was a spooky little shed. And then when they go in there, like when that cop goes in there,
you're
like, oh, you're shit.
Like, oh yeah. Something's weird. Yeah. Where is he hiding in the background somewhere?
Yeah.
And he hits him in the head with like a hammer or something, I think.
Yeah. But
yeah, that was awesome.
One of the cool that I always like, one of the cool kills is the guy in the wheelchair where he just hits him in the face with a machete,
right?
And the guy rolls all the way down the stairs, and it's done really well.
Shocking.
I wonder how many times they had to do it without the wheelchair doesn't flip over backwards. It doesn't fall off.
Right, it goes down
stairs,
just a certain way. It
goes straight down the stairs.
That was awesome. Yeah, that was an awesome effect on that one.
Yeah.
Awesome stunt, like whatever, however they did. I don't know if they must have had like some like dummy in the chair or something and just like brought it down on like rail, like a rail or something. I don't know how they did that.
And
or, like on strings. I don't know, wires.
I think something else that is, it's that thing of not necessarily anxiety, but it's a thing of if I was in the woods and I step on some trap that, you know, that guy's joke that pulls him up into the tree, that one guy, and he's like, let me down. And you're like, haha, it's funny. And she goes away. And then Jason shows up and the guy can't do anything. And Jason just slits his throat.
That was a good trap.
That would be like really scary. Like, oh shit. Yeah. Like I can't do it.
Right, exactly.
And that's the other thing of then when you would go camping, it would make you think of
you'd
these
be thinking of all that stuff.
And be like, oh shit. I think
you're
I heard
to go
something.
In the woods now. Yeah. It's like, Jaws.
I gotta go take a leak. Wait a minute. Don't go by yourself. I don't want to go by myself. Yeah.
Fred, where are you, Fred?
Yeah.
Fred.
Yeah.
In the middle of the night. Yeah, I know. Yeah. It freaks you out when you watch that stuff and you like, and then you like leave, you're like, you know, paranoid that you're gonna this is gonna happen. But yeah, that's part of the whole, I guess that's part of the whole thrill of those types of movies is like, you know.
Well, before we jump to the next one, what's your favorite
rating of the movie?
Friday the 13th movie? Not necessarily rate them all because I can't remember, but I know that I think three has some really good kills. One of those
three was my favorite, was because partly because he got the mask in part three. And I just liked that whole like the whole like cast of characters and stuff and the whole, like, there was a lot of humor in that one with Shelley. He had a lot of like humor. Like, he was sort of like a prankster, and you know, they had like those, and then they had the gang. Remember the gang that was like, you know, like walking, you know, they were trying to like, you know, I don't know what they were doing. Like they were trying to like get back at Shelley because he what did he do? He like, he ran over their bikes or something. And then they trailed them back to the cabin.
Yeah.
And then they ended up getting killed by Jason. So that I just like that whole
brought
like
more people in, you know, from somewhere else. Yeah.
Right. And then the Cheech and Chong couple. Remember the guy that's always smoking? He's like a Cheech and Chong guy, always smoking weed and stuff. And so there was a whole bunch of like kind of colorful characters in that. Then add to that Jason with his mask, and I just liked that one a lot. Part three.
No,
I mean, I really liked all of them, and then I really liked part five a lot, and I also liked part six a lot because that was like a really fun. I just like Tommy comes back and like him and that girl are having like a kind of like a relationship, you know, they're like flirting and stuff. And I just like that whole,
I remember,
they were really entertaining movies.
I think it was six had Arnold Horshack in it from Welcome Back Kotter.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, oh, that's Horshack.
Yeah.
And then like, and he gets killed right away, but the lightning goes through and you're like, but
yeah, that's the Frankenstein Jason.
I forget which exact one. I think it's X. Yeah. At the beginning of X, it takes place like now.
Yeah.
And she's trying to lure him out. You don't know, but she's an FBI agent. And she runs, he's chasing her, and they get into the middle of a field. And before he can kill her, these floodlights come on and they grab him.
Oh, yeah.
And then they put him in cryo freeze, and then he wakes up, you know, years later on a spaceship.
Space or something.
But before that, though, and I think it's either before that or it's Friday the 13th or it's Jason versus Freddy, is.
Yeah.
A girl having sex in a tent, and he takes
and he picks up the tent,
and he slams it down and splits her in half. And
I can't remember that one.
That's like the best kill I've ever seen. Like holy shit!
But I also remember he picks someone, a girl or a guy, up in a sleeping bag, and he like wails it against the tree.
Yeah, hits him on the tree.
I don't know which is that part
it might
seven
be four.
Or part,
might be.
I don't think it's part four. It's one of the later ones.
It might have been where you said, it amped up with the
like
comedy.
Seven, I think, like the New Blood. That was a good one. Yeah, that's where they kind of like, they almost like made like, it was almost like Carrie, like you know, the telekinesis thing. Like that was good too. I liked, really liked all of them. Part eight is where I just thought it was kind of stupid. Jason takes Manhattan. I just didn't, I don't know. It was okay,
but
it's fun
though. Yeah, it's fun though. You can watch it.
It's still fun. But I just kind of like thought that's where it kind of like peaked and like, you know. And then Freddy versus Jason, that was pretty, you know, I like that one too, but I mean, I like all of them, but I just have my, you know, you have your favorites because you just have certain things that you like in them that are more, that's, you know, so that type of thing. But what was I going to say? So I guess we can move on to the second film, which is My Bloody Valentine. And that was released in December of 1981. And that's the film where it takes place in, in Nova Scotia. It was filmed in Nova Scotia, Sydney Mines, but they call the town is called Valentine Bluffs, you know, right. Tied into the Valentine theme. So
yeah,
but I guess, you know, it was shot in authentic mines in that area, and it went 900 feet underground.
I was thinking crazy. That because I'm like, this has to be like a working mine that they
that's a real mine.
That was not working.
Yeah.
So
the story is Harry Warden is like the, you know, they were down in the mines. All these guys were working down in the mines, and then there was a cave-in, and only one guy survived, Harry Warden. And he ended up like cannibalizing the other men to survive because they didn't dig him out for like 9 days later or something like that. Then they sent him to a mental institution, and that's where he's been for the past 25 years. Now it's Valentine's Day, 1981. And I think it takes place on February, the movie starts like February 12th.
Yeah.
So it's 12th, like tying and then 13th. Friday the 13th, like then is the next day.
Yeah.
Or, you know, then of course Valentine's Day is the February 14th. So it's like sort of tying in like Friday the 13th at the same time, which is kind of cool. Just a little meta thing.
And a little bit of Halloween. So, Halloween did that where it's like October, you know, 30th. And 31st. Then October 30th.
Oh, yeah.
Halloween.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. So that's like the atmosphere is like, so that goes, so what makes this one stand apart from the other slashes is it's like, you know, it takes place around in a different atmosphere. It's like the mines and stuff like that. And then instead of having like, you know, the hockey mask or whatever, he's wearing like a, you know, a mining suit with the pickaxe.
With the ventilator.
So that's, it's a cool, like, you know, a cool, like, you know, look for the killer. So that was another thing that we liked.
Yeah, if you saw that holding an axe in front of you coming at you.
Right. I mean, it's just a cool thing.
Yeah.
Right. It brings that whole, like, you know, aesthetic to the whole, to the thing. But I really liked about this one was the humor in the movie.
Yeah.
I just thought the goofy Canadian humor, it had sort of like almost like that Bob Clark type, like, humor from like Black Christmas, same type of, you know,
with that, and the weird little thing with the two guys, like, he's like, well, you messed
Axel
up.
And TJ.
Yeah, like him now dating the girl because you left and didn't come back. And he's like,
that was an interesting little thing.
And he like knows that he fucked up. Like, he's like, yeah, I shouldn't have done that.
And you're thinking maybe he could be the killer because maybe he's jealous of the other guy or something, you know, like that type of thing.
But them being angry at each other, but also being like best friends, like having these little things that they do, harmonica playing, like.
Yeah, it was like, kind of like, cool. That's sort of like what I was getting at before. It's like, you're looking, when you watch slasher movies, they're all basically the same story, you know, like there's, you know, with the killer and stuff, but you're looking for like little details that kind of set them apart. Like they have a little charming thing to them. And that was sort of like the little thing in this movie. Like, you know, they're kind of like the little like love triangle thing like going on, and that little sub story going on. And then, you know, all that stuff.
And it was interesting because, and I think the way I saw this was, I think I was working at a video store when the remake came out. I think that came out in like
2009 or something.
Oh, then
was
maybe
it
not.
Early that? I don't know.
Maybe not. Maybe I ran it. I don't know. But
I meant to watch that. I was going to watch that before this movie just to see what, because I heard it was really good, but I never got to see it. But
I think it was pretty good from what I remember. But what I like is the sheriff in this, who you don't even know is a sheriff at first. You're like, who's this old guy who maybe likes this girl?
Yeah.
And she likes him, this old lady. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh shit, like he's the chief of police. Like, okay, this is cool. And then the thing of they're getting these boxes, and when he opens the box, it's a heart.
It's like a
in there.
Pig's heart.
Yeah.
A bloody
and
pig's
like,
heart or whatever.
Like, oh my God. And
something's rotten in Denmark.
And what's interesting, like you said, and I understand doing this movie, you'd be like, well, how do we change it? How is this gonna work?
How do you make it stand apart?
How do you make a Valentine's Day thing be kind of scary? And it would just be difficult. And same thing with like the Thanksgiving one, but Blood Rage I think is really good. But this one, it works, and this one's more funny and fun on purpose than the other one. But it's got some cool kills, but also both of these kind of take a while to build till you get a killing, you know.
It's more like a standard movie story. Like, you know, you're not like, it's not just the standard slash. Like, I mean, it has that, but it's like, it's just the way they do it. They pace it really well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like you're saying. And I was also going to say, Oh, crap. Go ahead. Say what you were saying.
I'm sorry. I was saying about different films, and I said Blood Rage.
Yeah.
And I was saying Valentine's Day. But that it works. You're like, okay, this makes sense. This is a cool idea. And also that he calls the psych place and says, is this guy still there? They're like, we don't know. He's like, I need you to fucking check. And the guy doesn't even check. And then finally, by the end, he checks. But it's that thing also of, okay, is this the killer or is it somebody here? Who is it? What's going on? Do I trust this guy? I don't know. And that's
what's we're back fun. To that Giallo type influence. That's like one of those influences from those movies. Like,
oh, that's the best part of Giallo, you know what I mean? Is that.
That's fun. It's the whodunit. Like,
it's the same. Scream was the same way. You're like, who's the killer?
Yeah. And who is this person?
I've heard people talk bad about Prom Night, but I saw Prom Night after Scream because Kevin Walker?
No, Williamson?
The guy that wrote Seven. Yeah,
Williamson. Kevin Williamson?
Kevin Walker wrote.
He was a big fan of that
He
movie.
Wrote Seven. Kevin Walker wrote Seven. Totally different Kevins.
Yeah.
Kevin Williamson, he was like, I watched Prom Night and got this idea and blah, blah. And I was like, oh, shit, I'm going to go back and watch these slasher movies. And Prom Night, I thought, was really good because who's the killer? Who is it? Right. I don't know, you know.
Right.
And that's how this was. Like, you're kind of like, okay, it's got to be that guy. But
you're guessing all the way through.
What if it's,
And you're like, oh, it can't be that guy because he was there when the killings happened. He was like right outside or, you know what I mean? That type of stuff. You're like, he's trying to look for
little clues. Or it's the thing of, he just came in. I don't know. Wait a minute.
Right. He could have been out. He could have been.
He could have been. He just changed his clothes. Yeah.
When the guy got his head dunked into the hot dog pot or whatever it was, the pot of hot hot dogs, boiling hot dogs.
But also, exactly. but also it's that thing of that we kind of talk, like, I love the openings of the Friday 13th movies because there'll be a killer or something. Too. Then all of a sudden it'll say Friday 13th part two.
Right. You know, assuming out. Friday the 13th. It's like Mad
this
Max.
One, that girl wants to make out with him and everything. Yeah. And you're like, oh, what's going
on? That was
on?
An awesome opening. I just, and all of a sudden, you just reminded me of that. Opening all of a sudden the opening of this movie.
Stabs her, you know, takes the axe, stabs her.
They're like, oh, this is going to be like a sex scene or something. And then it's like,
and then it's like My Bloody Valentine. You're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, that was a really good, that was a good opening for a movie, for a slasher movie. Really good. Sure. I like that one a lot. Yeah. But, I'm trying to think if there was anything, other details.
But it was like the thing of them being like, it's another thing that's in all of these movies of, you can't do it. You need to shut it down. Jaws did it. Everybody, you can't do it. Right. You can't have the party. You gotta shut it down. There's a killer out there.
They're having the Valentine's Day dance.
Yeah. It's like, no, we're going to have it. We decorated. This is what we're doing. Same thing with that old lady. Who's like, before that, the old lady's like, oh, I got this thing. It was probably the
laundry, laundromat.
And she opens it up and it's a heart. And she's like, what the fuck? And the guys,
they're like, so the kids are like, okay, you're gonna shut down the party. Well, we'll have our own party down in the mine, of course. Like, they're gonna go down in the mine where, of course, we're gonna understand what's gonna happen. But I mean, it's just those little things that are like, make it fun. Like, and then they all go down there, and then all, you know, obviously they're just getting started to get killed off one by one down there.
And granted, it's a movie, but it works out where you're like, okay. Yeah. This beat,
but I,
you know, we're gonna not have the party, but now we're gonna move there. Okay, now we have all the action's gonna happen in the mine, you know.
But I love like the adventure aspect of it, like when they go down into the mine on the cart.
The girls have never been on the cart.
Awesome.
They've never been
there. It's like a roller coaster ride. Like, this is what you. The
yeah, they're thinking like, oh, we've never been. These guys are like, we fucking work here, bust our ass in a mine, and you guys.
And then they can protect the girls down in the mine and stuff. Yeah, you know, they're trying to like make it look like they're all like, you know.
And that guy, the guy with the glasses, the overweight guy with the glasses, I always like
his name. He's cool.
He's always making jokes and like, but he knows his way around there. Yeah. No, we got to go to this way because of this and all that.
Exactly.
And then little things where I'm jumping to kind of the closer to the end, but when they go to that one area and it's like water 60 foot deep and you're like, oh, what's that all about? And then that guy falls in. And he's like,
Axel,
we can't go in there.
Axel falls in.
Yeah, he's like, we can't go in there.
He's like,
foot deep. And you're like,
he's like, well, Axel's dead now. Let's go.
Yeah,
I thought that was funny.
It's just water.
He's like, well, now I can get the girl back. Axel's dead. You were fighting through the whole movie. Now he's gone.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, he's like, well, you're mine now. But
that was
yeah, funny. It's yeah, that thing good. Of he's not really weighed down with anything, like dive in there and get yeah. him. But also, again, it's a script.
Like he didn't even try to yeah. help. He's like, he just kind of watched him like drown.
Oh, well, see you. Bye. Let's go.
Have a nice one. Yeah.
But
it was funny.
But yeah, it's.
Yeah. And, but I mean, it was just a good.
Like you said,
when you think about like the.
That's what I was going to say. The atmosphere of that mine, of the guy coming down, popping the lights, that part I really like as he's walking.
The killer popping lights. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like real with all
it's,
the
it makes it, it like it makes a good like it's a good like you know, it's a good point for the it's a good like atmosphere for the killer to be around like in that type of atmosphere, like, you know, cuz it's all dark down there and you know that's perfect like for that type of movie.
Yeah.
That's why it works so good.
Well, and then even more toward the end, what was cool was them where they set up the geography a little more, where they jump on the little cart to go back up and the cops are coming down and the cops see the cart go by them. And you're like, okay, they're close. Like, hurry up. You know, it's one of those like
it creates a nice bit of suspense there. You don't know if they're going to get to them in time or something.
Yeah. And
You were saying the beginning is really good of the movie. I really, really like the ending too. The ending is really kind of a cool ending.
Yeah.
I thought it was good.
Yeah. It was, it was really good where you wonder how come there was never a sequel to this movie because they got it set up. Like it's right there.
It
like
could have been.
When they're going to get him, I'm thinking, oh, cause I forgot. Cause I hadn't seen it for maybe 5 years. And we go to get him and everything's on. I'm thinking, oh, everything's on him. But no, it's a little room in there where he's in an air pocket and he's just like, see you guys. And he's laughing and a little light turns off.
He cuts his arm off.
That was pretty messed up. I thought that it crushed his arm off. But
stuck underneath the rubble and he couldn't get free. Yeah, so he cut it off.
Yeah, he's free. Like, I'm not going to. Yeah. If they let me free, they're going to arrest me. Yeah. Yeah.
And he does that weird like laugh as he goes off into the tunnel. But I mean, talk about something that would have been perfect for a sequel. That would have been like, you could have just came out the other side of the mine or something, or found some hole to get, you know, they could have easily, if they can do Jason getting out of the lake, they could do the guy getting out of the, or, you know, it reminds you of like Rambo when in First Blood, when he goes through the mine, remember? Said that they could have done that. But I don't know if the movie was as popular enough to do that. Maybe like they didn't have enough. They didn't make enough money or something. Maybe if they would have, if it had been a huge smash, but I don't think it was a big, huge hit, but it's still a very good, you know, of that genre. I think it's one of my favorites.
Yeah. That's the thing where sometimes you wonder if, you know, sometimes a movie makes good money, but not enough to do a sequel.
Right.
And it's like,
Think it did.
Yeah.
But this is a really good movie. But I'm surprised My Bloody Valentine didn't get on your Making Tarantino list, because according to my sources, this is Quentin Tarantino's favorite slasher film.
Oh, interesting. I'm pretty sure,
unless he's changed his choice from years ago. But I'm pretty sure this is in his top five, at least, I'm sure. You could have covered it on the show.
Well, and I'll have to look it up. And if I can find that, then I'll add it to the list. It's like Lady Snowblood was on the list, but I took it off because I did it on Church of Tarantino. And I thought that's too much like Kill Bill for us to be like, you know, I'll definitely keep
it. The way you're doing it now is working out good. Like, did you watch Cry of the Wolf yet?
Not yet. I'm going to watch it tomorrow. Yeah. Cry of the Wild.
I really liked it. I thought it was good. I liked it.
Especially if the National Board of Canada like put it out, like
it's
be good. Yeah. And that guy did a whole bunch of films. So
there's another movie that I saw that I really liked called Alone in the Wilderness. Did you ever see that one? It's about that guy that like lived up in, I don't know where it was, Alaska or something, but he just lived by himself out in the woods and he like built a cabin and stuff. I can't remember the guy's
that
name.
They made the movie about that.
I think he made the movie himself. He had a camera and he like had all the equipment and he just filmed himself doing stuff. And he was just by himself the whole time.
Yeah.
Like it was awesome. Like he just built the cabin from scratch and like, he was like a genius. Like this guy, he was awesome. Really good documentary. If you have to watch it.
I thought I'd seen it, but that guy lived in a bus. Yeah. So there might be another one though, but I'll have to check
no, it that's out. not. It's not the. It's not what's his
Not
face.
That
it's not.
One. Right, right.
It's not the Chris McCandless guy. This is like way,
okay,
way. This is like
okay.
a, like from the '60s or something.
Yeah, yeah.
1960s.
Oh, okay,
I think.
Cool. I heard about that.
I can't remember
on,
the guy's name.
On Pure
yeah.
Cinema was talking about that. Is that the one you're talking about?
Oh, were they? I'm not
I
sure.
So.
I don't know if I heard that episode.
There was one of
Alone
those.
Alone in the Wilderness, I think it's called.
One
yeah.
of those that they were
it
talking
might be.
About, but I'll have to.
Yeah, it
I'll
might be.
It
I'm not sure though. But I saw this years ago. Like it was on PBS, I think.
Oh
like
wow!
Years ago,
yeah.
like up here. But,
yeah.
Yeah, that
oh,
was awesome.
Yeah.
But before we ended the show, I wanted to give a shout out to Cinema Recall because they've been really nice adding us to their list on Twitter, which that was really cool. I just want to say thanks to them for that.
Yeah.
You know, we need
sure.
we need as much promotion as we can get, right?
Yeah, exactly. No, it's like
yeah.
I said, of the
yeah.
community, you know, it's a community.
Right. That's
of
the whole
podcasters.
Thing. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's just fun.
Right. So, I mean, we're happy to like give people shout outs and, you know, help promote their shows if they need it or whatever. I mean, that's the only way we can like kind of get the word out about the show is to kind of
yeah,
help each other out. And, you know,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's reached out to me.
People like the show.
Yeah, he reached out to me. He wanted to do a collab. And I was like, you talked
mm-hmm.
about Michelle
yeah.
Yeoh movies. So let's do a, you know, Kung Fu
yeah,
Michelle
right.
Yeoh, you know.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, Cinema
yeah.
Recall is really cool.
Nice people. And was there anything that you wanted to talk, like promote or anything? Or I don't know, like give any
information? I mean, my podcast that we do,
yeah.
we're having a hell of a time. Some people might
yeah.
say Chip doesn't sound into it. Chip's way into it. I love
Chipper.
I love doing the show with him. He's my cousin, and we
yeah.
randomly pick another movie. I have a spreadsheet set up, and it randomly
yeah.
picks out of 350 movies what our next movie is going to be to cover that Quentin Tarantino likes or recommends, and then that's what the podcast is about. And
yep.
so far, it's always picking something different. We did like a kaiju movie. We did a Halloween. We did Scarface. We're doing a documentary next called Cry of the Wild. We did Rolling Thunder. We did.
It's a good mix of stuff.
Like, yeah, it's a, and always different so far. And
yeah, that's what's fun about it too.
And sometimes Chip and I haven't seen it. Sometimes I've seen it, but Chip hasn't. And that's always fun because he'll bring his perspective of it. So,
yeah. And we're kind of like your little sponsor. Like you like,
yeah,
kind of,
yeah,
if you're watching like a Grindhouse movie, you kind of like, you know, give
yeah,
a little information taken from
what we do. If it's a Grindhouse movie that's on their website, then I go ahead and say, okay, promoted by Grindhouse Database. You know, Chip
that's
did
kind
a
of a cool
commercial
thing.
For them, and it works out great.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. It was really cool.
Yeah, for sure.
But I guess that wraps up this episode. This is
but
our 10th episode,
how about,
finally.
How about first, which one did you like better?
which
Friday
one do I like
better?
That's tough.
My Bloody Valentine.
I think I gotta say, well, they're both two of my favorites, but I think
oh,
today
okay.
I'm gonna say My Bloody Valentine. I just really enjoyed that one. Every time I watch, I just kind of really enjoy that one.
I'm gonna say
more, just a little bit more than the other one.
I'm gonna say Friday
yeah.
13th 2.
Really?
But if I really thought
really
I might say Bloody, but I'm gonna go Friday
yeah.
13th.
You like that one more this time, I guess. But
yeah,
I mean, I like both of them a lot. I think both. I love Hillbilly Baghead Jason.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
a good, like, you know, creepy character in that one.
Yeah,
you know, I
yeah,
just thought that
exactly.
was a good look for him.
Yeah.
In that.
But they're both great. Everybody
yeah.
can check them
yeah.
out. I think
I
they're on Pluto
them.
Or Tubi
yeah.
or wherever. So
yeah,
yeah,
they're all over the place. But they're classics now. I mean, these movies are
oh,
like,
yeah.
you know, as far as if you're, like a horror movie fan, these are. And I was like I was saying before, I think these will probably be like two of the, you know, mainstream ones that we do on the show. I don't want to
yeah.
do like every show like, you know, with movies that people have seen like, you know, a thousand times. I'm trying to get
yeah.
a little bit more obscure with each
yeah.
you know, double feature. And
yeah,
we're trying to like
sure.
the double feature thing, like, you know, the authentic Grindhouse double feature thing going. That's the where we're going with the show. So everybody
yeah.
has their little niche that they does, and that's what I decided for us, that's what's gonna be ours. So
and it works, and it's a great
yeah,
know,
it's fun.
It's a great
yeah.
thing, and they're quick, you know,
you
and our talks aren't necessarily
yeah.
going through each
yeah.
thing. It's here's what
right.
I liked about
all
it.
All over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And you can give a little history of whichever genre we're talking about. If we're talking about slashers, you give a little history of where those came from. Or if you talk about kung fu movies, we can get into those a little bit. You know, just kind of like what you guys are doing with your show. Have a little
yeah.
bit of mix of stuff. You know what I mean? Yeah. And also, of course, the Grindhouse has played all different types of movies. Like, if I wanted to, I could even do like mainstream movies that play. But I'm going to keep it like exploitation for now. But maybe like once I get like, you know, into 100 shows or something, maybe I'll go to like the more mainstream ones that played. Like, you know, because I think like stuff like King of New York played, like, you know, like the King of New York or RoboCop or something like that, or Cobra. Like at one point, maybe we'll do Cobra or something with a double feature with something else. Or, you know what I mean?
Cobra's so we'll
get,
fun.
We'll go through it. I mean, you know, that's just one little example, but I mean, I've seen like tons of things like on the marquees, all different types of movies.
Yeah, all those canon films probably played at a Grindhouse. Yeah.
all that stuff. Cool. Missing in Action. We did Missing in Action already.
True.
You know, all that stuff, you know.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess that wraps it up. Episode 10 of 42nd Street Forever. Thanks for being on the show, Phil. It was good talking to you.
Thank you for having me always. Hopefully I can be a constant co-host on here.
A regular contributor? Yeah, a regular co-host.
Exactly.
That would be cool if we can do it.
Yeah.
We have to sync up the, you know, the schedule and stuff. That's all.
Yeah.
As we know.
For sure.
Okay, well, we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Take care.